This is CBS Island World. I'm John Batchelor, visiting with my colleague Anatoly Zak, keeper of the Russian space web, a site I heartily recommend. This is about manned and unmanned. This is about war fighting and research and exploration and ambitions for space stations and for lunar stations and for moon bases. Right now, we're dealing with the MAN program, and Anatoly provides the chronology for you to understand how the Soyuz works. You will remember that between the end of Shuttle and the arrival of Dragon, SpaceX, the U.S. depended upon Russia and its Soyuz craft, so did everybody, to reach the ISS and come back down. Anatoly introduces us to important changes that have been happening at the Soyuz over these years. We're now at, Anatoly reports to me, the MS-26 is at the ISS right now. MS-25 just returned. MS-24 returned in April. But he takes us to MS-14, no crew on board, and MS-15 that launched in 19. These are both events from 2019, before the pandemic, that launched a crew in afterwards. But there was an important change between 14 and 15. First of all, we note that 14 had assembly problems, put down as human error. What happened, Anatoly?
So MS-14, yes, exactly, John, like you said, it was an unpiloted, uncrewed flight. And that was probably fortunate because that particular mission experienced, I guess, one of the most serious problems during the return. And of course, return to Earth is the critical part of the mission where it's really kind of riskiest part of the flight. And it looks like from the unofficial documents which I received, it appears that it was the first mission since 2003 which experienced ballistic return instead of aerodynamic return. And what that means, essentially, that spacecraft was the descent module of the spacecraft, which normally carries the crew, unlike this particular situation. Normally, it uses shape of its body to generate some aerodynamic lift, which makes the descent trajectory, more gentle, less steep than you would have otherwise during the ballistic return when you do not generate any lift. Problem is, in order to do this, you need a flight control system which orients the vehicle in a certain way that its body, when it enters the dense atmosphere, generates lift when it generates friction against the air surrounding the vehicle, and that air pushes the spacecraft up if it positioned correctly. So that system apparently failed during the MS-14 mission in 2019. And that triggered immediately, as any less serious accidents, but particularly this one, entire investigation, what exactly happened. And the root cause was found actually in the human error, apparently, in the error made by personnel which was preparing and testing the spacecraft for launch. And in fact, apparently there was a mistakenly some cables were disconnected, and some equipment which was confused between test equipment, because they use some diagnostics, like exactly like you do with the car. They bring some computers and diagnostics equipment which they put on board, connected to computers on board the spacecraft. And looks like in a process of swapping the test equipment for a real one, they disconnected the equipment which they needed. And so as a result, nobody noticed that during launch. So here we go, when time came to go back into the atmosphere, the spacecraft was not able to use its control thrusters to put itself in the right position. And instead of the aerodynamic returns, they had ballistic returns. So essentially, capsule entered the atmosphere. It still survived. It still has thermal protection shielding, which helps it to withstand the heat of the reentry. But the trajectory was steeper, and the spacecraft landed off course. They still know the area. There is a backup area specifically for this kind of situation. But it looks like it was first case like this since 2003 where that happened. And, of course, that triggered investigation and number of corrective measures for the procedures on the launch site during the assembly of the vehicle.
Which is why 5 years later we're seeing MS-26 at ISS as an exit vehicle, just in case there's an emergency. Now, the new manned craft, PTK or TEL, being originally designed or talked about for the moon, it's now for the space station, but not ISS. What is the new space station Ortel is for, and what does that mean for Ortel and launch? You tell me there's going to be a different orbit.
Yes, so essentially the new crew vehicle will be flying now. The new assignment which it has after the cancellation of the lunar program, it has the new Russian station which they want to build after the end of the International Space Station project around 2030 or 2031. So they need the space station, which will be multi-modular. It will be assembled from modules very similar to Mir and actually to ISS as well. But the huge difference, which will be kind of deferred from the International Space Station, is its orbit. They want to put it in a near polar orbit, which essentially, if you imagine a circle which connects the poles, the south pole and north pole of the Earth. So it will fly from one pole to another, very close to them. And the advantage of this is that it will overfly polar regions, which are strategically important for the Kremlin, for the Russian government. But also it will be overflying most of the Russian territory. But the problem is, along with these advantages, it brings very serious engineering challenges. And one of them is we'll be flying a very difficult trajectory over new areas and very hard to reach areas for in case of crew rescue. So imagine, instead of flying over open desert-like area in Kazakhstan, where everything is open, helicopters can easily fly along and the trajectory and find the crew if they do emergency landing. Here you're going to have tundra, you're going to have mountains, and then ultimately you're going to have Arctic Ocean covered with ice. So it's orders of magnitude more difficult area to do search and rescue in case of you want to land in emergency, or even if you land normally, because you're still on that trajectory going from pole to pole. So all of this has to be addressed. Search and rescue vehicles, some of them new vehicles, will have to be developed. Entire infrastructure will have to be built and trained. The crew, the special teams will have to be trained and infrastructure built to support that type of launches. So it's a big challenge, very expensive, very difficult from the engineering standpoint.
Is Ortel being designed or are they testing?
So the Ariel spacecraft is being actively developed. It was developed for a number of years, since 2009. It's in active development. They build in the hardware, but still a lot of things to do. For example, flight testing and integrated testing has not been done at all. So it's still a number of years away. At least the earliest, they now say 2027 is the first launch. It's even that date is still challenging, so they do have to do a lot of work.
Anatoly Zak, RussianSpaceWeb.com. It is a subscription site. You follow the development of Roscosmos. You just heard Anatoly introduce us to the Russian space station for polar orbit and the Russian space station spacecraft to go to and from, called the PTK Ortel, for polar orbit.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week.
Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.